Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide. Each week, we provide inspiring teachings, uplifting stories, and heartfelt prayers that connect you with the profound truths of Scripture. Our mission is to spread hope, love, and faith, and we invite you to join us in this vital endeavor as we seek to impact lives across the globe. Thank you for tuning in, and together, let us celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ.
Today, I thought I'd share one of the great salvation verses in the Scripture. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, which says, "Who has his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." What a tremendous verse. It talks about Jesus himself bearing our sins, taking our place on the cross of Calvary. And also, because he died for our sins, and because he's our Savior, we have put our faith and trust in him, and our sins are now forgiven, that we are now dead to sins. We don't have to sin. When we do sin, we have to take responsibility for it, and we have to confess our sins because he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're dead to sins, and then we should live to righteousness. We should live holy lives because we're called saints, and we should represent Christ well, living a holy life. And remember, it's by his stripes that we're healed. It's because the Lord Jesus went to the cross and bore each and every one of our sins in his own body as he hung on that tree between heaven and earth. It just shows the depth of his love that he would pay for our sins. The wrath of God that we deserve was put on Jesus, and he bore our sins in his own body. What a great blessing. What a great Savior. What a great salvation.
Cherish thee, will I Hello, and welcome to another inspiring episode of Mission Moments. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, bringing you the latest updates from the mission field. This week, we are excited to spotlight Mission Go's commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities worldwide. Join us as we delve into the incredible stories of missionaries making a tangible difference in unique language groups worldwide. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, we celebrate the dedicated individuals who embark on this journey to preach, build genuine relationships, and address the needs of those they serve. Their commitment to outreach aims to share the gospel's transformative power, and we can't wait for you to hear these uplifting stories. Stay tuned as we explore the meaningful connections being forged and the lives being changed, all through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a short update from St. Fart Discipleship Ministry, Haiti.
If you have been following news from Haiti, you have seen chaos in its most vivid form. There is no day without blood on the streets, killing, burning, fleeing, and family members beholding their loved ones dying. It is horrible to read such things, and even worse for our missionaries to see them in person. However, these things do not alter God's character and His goodness. When He calls, He leads, and He gives strength to endure. This is part of what has kept our missionaries in Haiti alive and productive in 2024. God anticipated bad days for His own. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16:33.
The system of this world is incompatible with the approach and values of the kingdom of God. Therefore, God continually creates a path in the wilderness as the system of this world collapses, allowing the gospel of peace to touch hearts. He uses people like you and our missionaries as His mouth and feet when doing so. We are grateful for being part of His great plan, even in places like Haiti, because He has a people among the nations. This April, here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we would like to make available another booklet about goodness, a devotion series by Robert Strand, as we continue the offering, the devotional series by Robert Strand, The Nine Fruits of the Spirit. The Greek word agathos describes how a person who is good in character or constitution will benefit others. Good and goodness are two very different words. We like to think what we do is good. Before we consider being good and doing good, we will need a working definition of goodness. God has set the measuring rod and standard, not humans. God is the measure of all things, including goodness and what it means. So, we will attempt to start with an understanding of God's goodness as a harvest of the Spirit's working in our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In these Bible studies, Fruits of the Spirit, by the bestseller author Robert Strand, you will learn about yourself and how to relate to others as you gain a deeper understanding of what it means to be in Christ. To order your copy of the booklet Goodness, a devotion series by Robert Strand, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario. Postal code L2R77 or in the United States, box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231.
Beyond all. should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The father turns his face away as wounds which mother chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Today's message is from the Honorable Ernest C. Manning and is from his series, The Biography of Christ. Printed copies are available upon request.
As we resume our biography of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us take a moment to do two things. Let us consciously put out of our minds all thoughts that might interfere with our concentration on Him and Him alone. And let us ask God to give us a new and greater revelation of His beloved Son than we have ever known before. Will you join me in prayer? O God, our Heavenly Father, we bow in reverence before You and ask You in this hallowed hour to give us a fresh revelation of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We stand on holy ground when we approach You and ask You to lift the veil of our minds and let us see Him in all His infinite glory and majesty and power. Take away all distracting thoughts and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Fix our minds on Him and Him alone. Transport us in the Spirit to that holy mount of transfiguration where we will see no man save Jesus only. We ask in His matchless name. Amen. Today we focus on Christ, the Stranger of Galilee. Let us begin by reading God's summation of that phase of Christ's earthly life and ministry, as recorded in Matthew 4, beginning at verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went out through all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people, that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and He healed them. And there followed Him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Christ's public ministry began when he was about 30 years old. The divine record gives but little information concerning his early life. We're told that as an infant, Mary and Joseph took him to Egypt to escape the decree of Herod the king that all male Israeli children under 2 years of age should be killed. They remained in Egypt until Herod's death. Then they returned to Nazareth, where Joseph plied his trade as a carpenter. When Jesus was 12 years old, he accompanied Joseph and Mary on their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem to attend the feast of the Passover, and unbeknown to them, tarried behind when they started the return journey. It was 3 days before they found him sitting among the learned doctors of the law in the temple, hearing them and asking them questions, and astounding all who heard him by his understanding and answers. Returning to Nazareth, we are told that he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. His days, apparently, were spent helping Joseph in the carpenter shop. But step by step, God's eternal plan and purpose started to unfold. There emerged on the public scene a remarkable man named John the Baptist, whose mother Elizabeth was a cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. John, a rugged man of the desert, was a fiery preacher of righteousness who shook and angered the religious establishment with his vehement denunciation of hypocrisy and corruption in high places. He was the prophet foretold by Isaiah and ordained of God to be the forerunner of the Christ. The theme of his message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There standeth one among you whom ye know not, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." Thousands flocked to hear him, and hundreds confessed their sins and were baptized by John in the River Jordan. Then one day Jesus came where John was baptizing, and when John saw him, he cried out to the multitude, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus asked John to baptize him, but John demurred, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" But he yielded to Christ's repeated request and baptized him in Jordan. As Christ came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit of God, in a visible form as a dove, descended and abode upon him. And the voice of God his Father spake from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is one of the irrefutable manifestations of the triune God, in which all three members of the eternal Trinity were manifest separately at one and the same time. God the Son coming up out of Jordan, God the Holy Spirit descending upon him as a dove, and God the Father speaking from heaven, affirming that Christ was his beloved Son. Following his baptism, Matthew 4 records that Christ was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days and nights he was tempted of the devil, who offered him all the kingdoms of the world if he would but worship him. The matchless Christ resisted every temptation, which enabled it to be written of him in the divine record, "He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin." Following his ordeal in the wilderness, he began his public ministry. He gathered around him a little band of men. The first was Andrew, a fisherman, who had heard John the Baptist acclaim Christ as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Andrew brought his impulsive brother Peter, also a fisherman. Christ invited Philip to join them, and so it went until the band of close followers was increased to 12, including Judas Iscariot, who later would betray him. Accompanied by his disciples, Christ began traveling and preaching through the towns and communities of Galilee and Judea. But he did more than preach. He manifested his deity by performing miracles. He attended a wedding in Cana of Galilee and turned water into wine at the marriage feast. He commanded the winds and the waves, and they obeyed him. He healed the sick. He made the blind to see and the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. He even raised to life people who had died. His ministry was characterized by great compassion for those in need. He fed the hungry multitude by multiplying a few loaves and fishes into sufficient to feed 5,000 men beside women and children. He comforted those who mourned. He bound up the brokenhearted. In the words of Scripture, he went about doing good. Mark 12:37 says, the common people heard him gladly. His ministry was characterized by teaching. The people who heard him shook their heads in amazement and said, never man spake like this man. Mark 1:22 says, they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. His teaching concentrated on three main themes. First, his relationship with God and why he had come into the world. Over and over again, he affirmed that God was his Father and that he and his Father were one. Later, when on trial for his life, this affirmation would be used against him by his enemies within the religious establishment. We have a law, was their accusation, and by our law he ought to die because he, being a man, maketh himself God. Not only did he make clear that God was his Father and that he had come forth from God, but he emphasized that his Father had sent him because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die, a substitute sin-bearer in the place of sinful, guilty men, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Son of Man, he said, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The second theme of his teaching was the coming kingdom of heaven on earth over which he will someday reign. When the angels announced his birth, they had said, Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there should be no end. Clearly this speaks of a literal, not a spiritual kingdom, and much of Christ's teaching dealt with what his future kingdom on earth will be like. This was the theme of his great Sermon on the Mount and of many of his parables. He stressed that he had been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and was in very truth their long-promised Messiah. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. Thirdly, he taught that the ultimate establishment of his kingdom of heaven must be preceded by men and women experiencing a spiritual new birth. Except a man be born again, he said to Nicodemus, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He spoke of himself as the bread of life and stressed that men must partake of him to gain eternal life. He urged men not to labor for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. When he spoke this way, many who'd followed him for material gain and who were interested only in a material kingdom said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And they went back and walked no more with him. The reaction of the people to his preaching and teaching differed widely. Some saw him as a political leader who could deliver them from the Roman yoke. They were prepared to take him by force and make him a king. Some followed for the loaves and fishes and to gain release from their physical ailments. Some regarded him only as a learned teacher. Others thought he was a reincarnation of Elijah or John the Baptist. That was the disciples' answer when he asked them, whom do men say that I am? But when he asked them, who do you say that I am? Peter replied, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The religious establishment hated him because he exposed their impotence and hypocrisy and challenged their authority. They were determined to do away with him and finally secured the help of Judas to achieve their end. He who had started his ministry as the stranger of Galilee in 3 short years became one of the best known, most loved, and most hated men in the entire country. On his last triumphant entry into Jerusalem, Thousands cheered and people thronged his path, casting palm branches and even their garments on the road before him, crying, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" A few days later, many of that same crowd would cry, "Away with him! Crucify him! We have no king but Caesar!" Next week, we'll find what happened when the man of Galilee became the Christ of Calvary. We've only had time to sketch the barest outline of his 3 years ministry that took him from the carpenter shop in Nazareth to the cross of Calvary. But I hope what we have discussed has helped you realize that while many people felt the impact of Christ's life and ministry and acclaimed him as the greatest man that ever lived, this alone is not enough. What really counts is whether our knowledge of him leads us to respond to his invitation to enter into that personal relationship with him that leads to a spiritual new birth and eternal life. There are millions of people today who admire Christ as a great religious leader and teacher, and they subscribe to many of his teachings, but they think of him only as a great man, the historic stranger of Galilee. Is that the way you think of him? Is that the way you know him? Or have you at some point in your life come to the place where you realize that he is in very truth the eternal God incarnate in human flesh? Have you ever bowed in reverent adoration before him and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God"? Remember, after he paid in full the price of your redemption on the cross, God raised him from the dead. And he's alive today, seated at God's right hand, from whence he offers you forgiveness and eternal life if you'll receive him as your Savior and enthrone him as the Lord of your life. If you have not done so before, will you do so today?
As we draw this broadcast to a close during the Easter season, we at Mission Go and Canada's National Bible Hour want to express our heartfelt prayers for you. We hope the messages you've heard today and the inspiring stories from the mission field resonate deeply within you and ignite a passionate desire for a closer relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We encourage you to take a moment to immerse yourself in the wisdom of Scripture, reflecting on the beautiful invitation found in Matthew 11:28 to 29, where Jesus calls us to find rest in him. May these words lift your spirit and guide you towards a more profound understanding of his love and purpose for your life. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, may God's grace and peace be with you all. Also remember to order your copy of the booklet, Goodness, a Devotion Series, 9 Fruits of the Spirit, by Robert Strand. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5, 22-23, to order your copy of the booklet, Goodness, a Devotion Series by Robert Strand. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R7A7, or in the United States, box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. Thank you for tuning in to Canada's National Bible Hour. We truly appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Remember, this program is made possible by your generous support, and we couldn't continue sharing these uplifting messages without you. If you have any questions or want to discuss our broadcast further, feel free to contact Tammy Campbell, our dedicated producer, at tjcampbell@missiongo.org. We love hearing from you. Until next time, take care and may God bless you richly. We look forward to having you with us again soon.